This is Kelly Henderson, and you are listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. My guest this week is relationship expert and founder of Breakup Bootcamp, Amy Chan. If this name sounds familiar, Amy has been on the Velvet's Edge podcast before, and she taught us all about how to utilize the pain from a breakup to become your best self and build the life you want. So she's back today to talk about needs, or actually unmet needs, within a relationship and how to ask for your needs to be met productively, how to set boundaries without starting a war. This conversation is great for any relationships. It doesn't just have to be a romantic relationship. Amy also just fills us in on her new book and the science of rewiring your heart. Here's our conversation. Well, our favorite relationship expert is back. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have you back on the podcast. And last time you were here, we talked a lot about the breakup boot camp and just how to heal after you've been through a traumatic breakup. But today we were going to kind of talk through the rewiring of your heart and how that can look either in a relationship, not in a relationship, how all of this is really about the relationship with self more than anything.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk through, we were specifically, when we were initially talking about doing another podcast, I said to you, like, what are some of the things that, you know, you see people bumping up against or that come up a lot in your conversations about relationships or people just the issues that they would have within these relationships? And one of them that you mentioned was people getting their needs met and like, or unmet needs, and how that's causing so much hardship in a relationship dynamic. So can you talk a little bit through that and like what you're seeing within people?
Yeah, I think especially right now during a pandemic, I feel like the pandemic has been a great accelerator for relationships, meaning it's either, you know, strengthened people's bond together or made people, you know, suddenly realize they're in love with their best friend, which is amazing. Or it's kind of put a spotlight on any cracks in the foundation. And couples have either, you know, completely just blown up their relationship and they're breaking up or divorcing, as those rates are skyrocketing right now, or they're really just butting heads because of the stress of the pandemic, of being around each other so much. And one thing that just keeps coming up is just these arguments that kind of go in cycles. And so I think when it's important to note that whether you're single or you're coupled, if you are, whatever you're complaining about, if you're frustrated or you're disappointed, behind that, there is an unmet need. And too often, we are troubleshooting the symptoms. We're like, you know, do the dishes, or we want more romance, give me more flowers. And then maybe your partner complies and, you know, sets up a date night, and then you're fine for 2 days, and then suddenly you're pissed off again.
Yeah.
And that's because we're not dealing with a symptom. And so for that, for example, the root of that is the need for connection. The need for connection is not being met, and just getting flowers one day is not going to solve that. And so I think, first of all, it's really important that whether it's your partner that's upset or you're upset about something, get to what the root need is. And there's a bunch of different needs. You can look it up online or read the book, but whether, is it connection? Is it autonomy? Is it adventure? Is it intellectual stimulation? Is it a sense of safety? And remember that ultimately you are responsible for getting your needs met, meaning there's things that you can do to meet your own needs, and there's ways that you can communicate your needs and your boundaries with your partner instead of just reacting like a hurt child and being passive aggressive or blaming or withdrawing.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me about like the need for connection. I love that you said, you know, maybe you get it fulfilled on a date night, but then 2 days later it comes back up. And I like, that's something that I have dealt with a lot during this pandemic and the dynamic of trying to navigate time together with your partner. But like, it's not just about time, because as you said, we're together all the time right now, but it's that true connection. So like, is that, when you say it's something like you could give yourself, how, like, what am I missing here?
Yeah. So let me give you an example. Let's talk about connection. I know for myself, I've been super busy trying, you know, launching this book. I've kind of stopped doing my self-care stuff. Mm-hmm. I've stopped meditating. I stopped really doing the things that feed my soul. Mm. I'm not really integrated and connected myself. Now, I can easily point the finger of blame to my partner and be like, well, you're not being romantic enough. You're not doing this enough. Mm-hmm. But how can I expect him to fill this void of connection when I haven't even been feeding it myself? So I think that's really important to look at, right? Sexuality is a big thing right now too. A lot of couples are having a hard time keeping desire and passion alive, especially when you see each other all day, you're in your pajamas, and it's really easy to point the finger of blame and be like, well, you know, you're not making me feel sexy.
Yeah.
But like, are you doing the things to make yourself feel sexy and sensual? Do you have a pleasure practice? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, doing a massage and like, you know, cherishing your body, doing these things that can make you feel sensual and sexual on the inside instead of expecting your partner to be 100% responsible for that?
Yeah. Okay. So that's so good about making, like, your partner cannot be 100% responsible for anything in your life. Like, that is not their job. And I think a lot of times as humans, we sort of get in these dynamics with our partners where it feels like, hey, like, you're my partner, you should meet this need for me. And they can't. Like, they have their own amount of needs. They have their own struggles. So, I mean, obviously you need your needs to be met in within a relationship, but that's very unrealistic to expect that of a partner all the time, right?
Yeah, Kelly, you make a really great point. And, you know, not only do we have these expectations of our partners to fulfill all our needs sometimes and get sorely disappointed because that's completely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Another thing is we sometimes play hot potato with our emotions, meaning we don't know where the root of the emotion comes from. And so, for example, right now there's a pandemic. You might on a cognitive level say, oh, you know, I'm fine. I'm not that stressed. But you're not aware of the compound impact of stress that it's probably having on your body, mind, and soul.
Yeah.
And so when you're feeling out of sorts and then, you know, maybe your job is a little bit iffy, you're not seeing your friends, it's easy to then be like, oh, I feel bad. And oh my gosh, who's the person who's right next to you that you can point the finger on and say, oh, this is your problem. I feel bad, deal with it. But you know, maybe your partner has a little bit to do with it, but maybe it's all the other things going around as well. And so that's why it's important that we really reflect on what we're going through. And instead of being so quick to play hot potato with our emotions, understand where is the root of this coming from?
Yes. Do you think a lot of it right now might be fear?
I think, yeah, definitely. There is so much uncertainty. Mm-hmm. We haven't gone through something like this. And even if your life seems okay, no matter what, you are feeling the collective
yes.
grief and stress and suffering, right? Like we soak in energy. And so it does take a toll on you, whether you're processing that or not.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking a little bit before and I was telling you that I've had a lot of change like the past 2 years actually, but it's, you know, and everyone has this year. I feel like you're saying, nothing is normal. So it's a collective trauma that we're all facing. A lot of us have felt job insecurities like that, and that brings up financial stresses and all of those things. And what's so interesting is I was telling you a little bit of a story, which I'll keep pretty surface here, but like I have been sent back into some of my old fears and beliefs and like worries just about stuff that's not even happening in my life right now, but it's because I'm going through so much change or so much fear in a lot of my areas, it brings it up in all levels. And so I start to go, well, could I trust my partner on this? Or could I trust that friend on this? Or, you know, all of my old yeah. shit has come up because of that. And seeing it manifest in my relationship is actually like brutal. I hate it.
Yeah, it bleeds into everything else, right?
Yes. So how can we kind of, is it just about being conscious of that? Like, how do we stay out of that place within our relationships?
Yeah, I think the very first step is being conscious of it. And the second step is this is an opportunity to really communicate like a functioning adult, right?
Yes.
When we are triggered, we have a tendency to really kind of age regress back into our hurt child. And there's really, you know, different ways that we reacted to conflict as a child. One way is we kind of became submissive and we kind of stopped, you know, voicing our needs or boundaries and edited ourselves and maybe went into people pleasing. Mm-hmm. Or you could go the other way where you become really defensive, or you might stonewall, or you might blame, and you might even feel a bit superior, right? So there's one route of being inferior and one route that goes superior. Hmm. What you want to do as a healthy functioning adult is actually communicate your needs and your boundaries in a healthy way. And the way that you do this is the hardest part and the heaviest lifting done in a high stakes conversation is actually done in the beginning. And that is, are you entering the conversation with boxing gloves on or a handshake? Because if you are entering with boxing gloves, and that means you're using language such as, you do this, you never, you always, those are fighting words. Those are boxing gloves. If you send a text message and say, hey, can we have a talk? Those are boxing gloves, right? Because guess what happens? Automatically, the person who's receiving that, their nervous system gets activated and they go into defense mode. So they are either going to fight you, they're going to freeze, or they're going to flee. And so if you are starting off a conversation like that, there is absolutely no way you are going to create harmony. So that's the first thing. You want to start off your conversation with connection. You want to be in a connected place. And this might mean that you are selective and strategic with the timing. I know for myself, I used to love bringing up, you know, serious relationship topics right at night before going to bed. My partner is tired from work. He's dying to go to sleep. And the last thing he wants to do is talk about feelings.
Right.
And so I realized the hard way that, oh, okay, midnight is not the best time to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that is an example of me playing hot potato with my emotions because I felt something at that time. I wanted to get it off my chest. So, well, you better come by. Mm. But now I know when is a better time to bring things up. And if I'm bringing up what's called a high stakes conversation, maybe I'm talking about a boundary or a need. I will not only choose the right time, I'll also choose to speak about it when we're in a place of feeling connected. So that might be when we're on a walk. It might be like during a meal. And I'll make sure that I use language that doesn't make him feel like he's being attacked.
That I'm just digesting everything because that's so true. Sometimes even if I think I'm doing it, trying to connect, it's not the right time. Or maybe my approach is sort of what you're saying, where I'm asking for something and the person is not in the place to hear that. And so it's going to be a disaster every time. Do you have some examples of ways, like verbiage even, to use as a like starting point that comes from a place of connection?
Yes. So, okay. I love the nonviolent communication framework.
Yes.
And this is something, the more you practice, the more natural it gets. In the beginning, you're like, oh, this feels really weird. I feel like a robot. But eventually, it just becomes a part of the way you communicate.
Okay.
The very first thing you want to do is you want to validate your partner's experience. This works with romantic partners. It also works with kids. So that means...
Good to know. Okay.
You know, if a kid is freaking out about being hungry and wants ice cream, what you say to that kid is like, I understand that you feel really hungry and you want ice cream and you're sad because you can't get the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes the kid feel like they're validated in their experience. Same thing with your partner. Maybe your partner has been super stressed at work and is just, you know, is stressed and he's sensitive to like anything that you say. You might say, hey, I know you've had a really crazy week at work and things have been tough and you've been feeling a bit stressed out and upset. Am I right? And then you create an opening where your partner feels seen.
Yeah.
And they are like, oh yeah, you empathize with where I'm coming from. Yes, I am having a hard time at work. Versus like, you're so stressed all the time and you always just act like an asshole when you're stressed out.
Yeah.
Totally different way, right? And so now that you've kind of validated their experience and you've empathized with where they're at, and again, this doesn't mean just because you're empathizing or validating their experience, it doesn't mean that you're admitting fault, for example. So if you're in a fight, it doesn't mean by just saying like, wow, I see that you're really stressed out and this conversation is making you upset. It doesn't mean that you're saying I'm right and you're wrong, you know? So it's just to kind of create a connection. Second thing you want to do is you then want to talk about the facts. And this means the facts of the situation, not your interpretations, not using words like always and never. So maybe the situation is you're feeling disconnected and you want to have more romance. So this might look like this. Hey, John, I know that this has been a really hard week and it seems like you've been really stressed out lately and, you know, frustrated with your coworkers. And he'd be like, yeah, I have been. And then you could say it like, well, you know, I've also had a pretty hard week and, you know, we haven't really been able to connect. Like, we haven't had any meals together. And I know for me, I've been on my social media all the time. And so you're just explaining the facts of the situation, but you're not blaming or attacking the other person. The next thing you do is you talk about how you feel and what you value. So you can say something like, you know, I've been feeling a little disconnected and that makes me sad because, like, you know how much I love you and I value connection and quality time with you and, like, you know, passionate date nights. And then you set up a clear request. So this is when you actually ask for what you want. I suggest you open it up with saying, are you open-minded too? Studies actually show that when you open up a request with that, the chances of that person complying actually increase significantly. This might look like, would you be open to Friday night? We do dinner, we turn off our phones, and we promise, you know, we don't talk about work, and we end the night with a bubble bath and a bottle of wine. How does that sound to you? Like, do you think that would spark connection?
Yeah.
That just makes it sound like you're both in it for the same value. You both want connection, and you're giving an option, but you're not making a demand, right? Because when you make a demand, there's something that happens automatically to the other person. They either will become submissive and comply to your demand, which will just create resentment, or they will become defensive and they will be like, I'm not going to do that. Like, you're not the boss of me. Both ways is a lose-lose situation. So this way, you're inviting the person into the conversation, into the solution.
I love that. So you kind of mentioned when we were talking before about communicating your needs. So I'm assuming this is the protocol that we should operate under, right? Like, first of all, addressing or accepting our need in our own head, and then approaching your partner in the capacity that you just explained.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Okay. And one great thing to do is, especially if there's going to be a high stakes conversation, meaning, you know, this isn't just about the dishes and maybe it's something a bit more like significant to you.
Yeah.
I would suggest actually writing it down as if you're having the conversation and going through the steps using the nonviolent communication framework. So again, that's identifying the unmet need in yourself. So you're troubleshooting the right thing, then stating the facts, then how you feel, then what you value, then making a clear request, right? If you write it down, it actually helps you kind of filter the situation in your head so that by the time it's game time, you've kind of practiced this already. And the chances of you just getting ticked off and triggered and then blowing up is going to be a lot less likely when you kind of run through it already.
Yeah. Now, so what about when you are in a position with your partner where you feel like you need to set boundaries? Because I feel like sometimes these conversations can go similarly. Like, when you are trying to state a need, but you're instead demanding it, or you're not saying it appropriately or in a place of connection with your partner, it turns into a huge fight. And I think that that can go in a similar fashion for boundaries. And I think boundaries are tricky. I know they are for me. So what does that look like? What's the difference there?
I think that you can use the exact same framework with setting up your boundaries as well. So let's just do an example. So say you want more, you know, free time and autonomy. Okay.
Yeah.
So the way that you could bring that up is saying, like, hey, you know, during this pandemic, we've both kind of been under the same roof 24 hours a day. Those are the facts. then you would state how you feel. I am a bit more introverted and, you know, I do need more kind of independence and autonomy. And that's kind of what we had before the pandemic. And I was really living my best self back then. And I think that actually contributed a lot to our relationship. And like even the mystery and the desire, right? So you're setting up how you feel, the higher value for the both of you. And then you make a clear request. Would you be open to on Monday nights? That's our independent day. That means like we'll do our own meal. We'll kind of do our own thing. And then we regroup on Tuesday. And then we can actually even talk about what we missed out on Monday and just have like that one moment or that one day in the week where we actually have some time apart and kind of allow the desire to build back again. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Such a different way, right? Than like, hey, you're totally in my space. I'm fucking going crazy. Like, just back off.
Yes.
Totally,
yes.
Totally different.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the difference between like a war and a peaceful conversation.
Yes.
And also those wars seem to be the ones that drag out for weeks. You know, they just never end because once that groundwork is laid, it is just like the battle is on.
Yeah.
So can you explain the difference between a boundary and a wall? Because this actually took me a very long time to understand when I was doing this. And I think like as a person who's not necessarily grown up having active boundaries, like that's something I've had to learn as an adult. When I first started setting them, they went so far, you know, like I did the opposite extreme and I was setting up all these walls. And so what is the difference? So maybe people can understand that a little more.
Yeah, I feel like building up a wall is a coping mechanism and it's often learned from childhood, right? Mm-hmm. So say when you were a young child, say you were in your teens and your parents were, I don't know, encroaching in your space. So back then you didn't actually have the tools or the communication ability to actually have a conversation that you're in a time where you need independence. So instead, you might just go silent and you just kind of shut them out. You kind of go to this extreme behavior because you don't know how to handle the in-between.
Yes.
And so we'll construct a wall where it's like this, nothing can come in, right? It's not porous. There's no negotiation. There's no gray space. And we kind of hide behind that because we don't feel like we can deal with any of the ambiguity or the gray space in between. And so a boundary is different. A boundary is porous, meaning you're it's not coming from a place of scarcity and lack. It's coming from a place of you having an understanding of where your feelings are, where someone else's are, and you respect other people's boundaries and they can respect yours. And if they're not willing to comply and they're going to breach your boundaries, you're willing to do something about that. Meaning sometimes you might even walk away from the dynamic or you'll do X, Y, Z. And so a boundary is when you communicate what it is that you want, what it is that you need, and there is a consequence if that boundary is breached.
Okay. So you said that, you know, if the boundary is breached, like you might even be willing to walk away from the relationship. Does it have to go that extreme? Or can that also be a place of connection with your partner to like, when the violation happens, is there a conversation that can be had that can actually, you know, they say like therapy, when you do couples therapy, it's like a bid for connection a lot of times when you're working through the hard issues. So are there ways to do that?
Totally. I think it really depends, right? Like I also work with people who are in relationships with people who have narcissistic personality disorder. Mm. And for them, they have a really hard time with boundaries and they don't ever uphold their boundaries. So they continuously get walked on and stay in these really toxic relationships where there's a lot of abuse.
Yes.
And so it's important for those people to draw their boundaries. And when they're not listened to, you actually have to, you know, identify, is this a blip in the relationship or is it a pattern? And if it's a pattern and a cycle, you got to get out. But I think for day-to-day relationships, when boundaries are breached, and sometimes they will be, I don't think our partners are here to get us, right? Majority of the relationships, your partner isn't some evil person who's trying to harm you. And so oftentimes it's just a lack of communication and a lack of the reception of that. So if they're not hearing you, you have to, you know, take on the ownership of being a leader in conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think if both people think that, you're always going to be navigating and learning how to be a better communicator.
Okay.
And then you find ways of communicating. And it's going to be different for each person, right? Like, I have set boundaries with my mother, for example, who constantly would have conversations complaining about my dad. And I grew up with this, and mm-hmm. I had to set a boundary, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I love you and I love Dad. And I know he's done some terrible things, but I cannot keep hearing this because he's my father. And so if you want to keep having these conversations about how you feel, totally fine. But if you're going to attack my dad, I can't hear it."
Yeah.
And I had to say it a few times until she got it. And sometimes I would actually get off the phone. So yeah. That was a consequence. Like, "Hey, Mom, you're doing that again. I actually don't want to engage in this. I'm going to get off the phone. I'll call you back later." And then eventually she kind of got it and she stopped doing it. But sometimes I need to still remind her.
Yeah, I love that. So what if you're not in a relationship and you're listening to this? Can you apply these kind of tactics into your life as a single person?
I mean, I think that learning how to communicate in a healthy way is going to be helpful for all areas of your life, right? Mm-hmm. You can use this with coworkers, with friends, with romantic partners, with people you're dating, with family members. I think even, with the holidays, like some families might be putting on the pressure of like, yeah. Are you going to get married? Are you going to have children? Or even just getting super nosy about your life. And so, and when we deal with our family, as woke as we are, sometimes like everything just falls to the side.
Oh, it all goes out the window. Yeah. Everyone has their wounds.
Just monsters.
Yes.
So like, that's a great time to start practicing. And like, I would say if this is all new to you, practice with lower stakes conversations in setting your boundaries and asking for your needs, right? Mm. Even especially for those people who are overgivers, even the art of practicing to ask is something that you have to build your muscle to, yeah. Right? If you're always giving, you're probably feeling resentful. You probably feel like people don't invest in you as much as you invest in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even, people might be trying to give you their love, but you might not even be able to receive it. So like, you want to practice asking for smaller things that are low stakes before you do the big ask.
Okay.
Same thing when it comes to, needs and boundaries.
I love that. Well, we mentioned earlier that you are the founder of the Renew Breakup Bootcamp, which I actually attended this year, which I didn't go through a breakup, but people, so that's like kind of confusing. But when I talked to you, we've been in touch for many years now. And when I talked to you about this, I was bumping up against some old patterns, maybe some old behaviors, even belief systems that I just could not release. And I could see them affecting my relationship. And I remember saying to you something like, "I just know that regardless of if I'm in this relationship or not, like this shit is going to stay with me. And so I need help." Like, I could just see that I was not able to break out of it by myself. So your workshop was extremely helpful to me. I met so many amazing women who I've done a couple podcasts since then with some of the educators and just amazing women that helped with you within all of this stuff. And I want to tell the listeners about Renew. So can you I want to talk through how this started for you and your journey, and then also what it is you guys are doing now.
Yeah. So I started Renew Breakup Bootcamp because I went through a pretty traumatizing breakup. And back then, I put all of my identity in my relationship and our future.
Yeah.
And when the relationship fell apart, I just completely fell apart. I didn't know who I was without this person and all these plans that I had laid out for us. And so the uncertainty I thought was going to kill me because, it was like, poof, everything I thought I was going to have just went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people can resonate right now with the pandemic. Like, your plans have been altered. There's been
yes.
a major, major plot twist. And I learned how to navigate through that. I went through a lot of different types of therapy, yoga retreats, Reiki, psychics. I've tried it all. And then I realized that there isn't a place for people to go to after a breakup where they can not only heal from their breakup, but also learn about the subconscious patterns that are causing the same emotional experiences to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I need to create this. So we have physical retreats, of course, are on hold right now because of the pandemic. And now we offer the virtual online boot camps where we bring in a bunch of different experts from psychologists, behavioral scientists, to sex educators to help people move through old patterns that are no longer serving them so that they can change the relationship with self, which automatically ripple effects to the relationships with others.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that was a major part of my experience. And, you know, I'm like you in that I've done basically every type of therapy. I love it. I constantly feel like I'm like diving into new things. But sometimes I get out of my routines, just like you were saying, and I get so lost amongst myself. Like I am lost from myself, if that makes sense. And that was one of the main things that I experienced at Renew, was even letting go of some of my fears that been, because you know, they've been so just huge this year with all of the loss and change and all of that. And just to say, like, I am okay, you know, within myself, I am okay, no matter what is happening externally around me, or what within my relationships or any of it, like, I will be okay regardless.
Yeah, Kelly, I think that's such a huge takeaway, is that this internal knowing that you are okay, you are safe, and you have the tools to get back up, right?
Yes.
Life pivots are going to happen. Things that we plan on are going to fall apart. Things that we never expected to happen will happen, and we will get back up, and we will get back up again. And when you know that, it just changes how you do the world. It changes how you love as well, because you can actually open your heart and love even stronger and more boldly, because, you know, even if it all kind of fell apart and didn't go according to plan, you will be okay and you will get back up.
Exactly. I love that. Well, now you've actually turned this breakup bootcamp into a book. So there's a new book out called Breakup Bootcamp, The Science of Rewiring Your Heart. Tell us about the book.
Yeah. So for all those people who can't make it to the physical boot camp, this is the Bible. And I would say it's the relationship Bible, because it's never just about the ex, it's recycled pain. And the book has, you know, all these tried and tested tools that are backed by research and psychology, and different experts sharing their expertise and different stories of the women who have come through breakup boot camp and have made, you know, significant changes in their lives and applied these tools. And so, yeah, this is the relationship Bible, I'd like to say.
So even though if you're not in, you're either not in a relationship, or if you're in a relationship and you're just like seeing yourself repeat old patterns, these things can be very helpful, right? It doesn't necessarily matter what your relationship status is at the time.
Yeah, for sure. It's for, you know, single, dating, divorced, or couples. This is applicable because this is a book about the patterns, your own relationship patterns, your relationship with self, and some of the subconscious beliefs that are kicking around that impact everything in your life. And so it's never just about a person or the ex or the person you're with. This is about what's going on with you. And like you said earlier, Kelly, our patterns will stay with us, and we will bring them with us wherever we go.
Yes.
And so if we don't learn to start to shift those, we're just going to keep repeating the same issues over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Well, Amy, I love you. You know that. So I appreciate you being here. Where else can people find you if they have any more questions, or if they just want to look into Renew, or even just a good follow on Instagram?
Yeah. RenewBreakupBootcamp.com is a website. Follow me on Instagram at Miss Amy Chan. If you have questions, DM me. I always answer them. And yeah, the book Breakup Bootcamp, The Science of Rewiring Your Heart, is available everywhere.
Amazing. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys for listening.